air steward. You might remember the year after the pandemic, there were lots of unfilled vacancies, so I decided to look for a career change. The part-time air steward job in the window of a recruitment agency had caught my eye. I wanted a bit of adventure and have always thought of myself as a high flyer. "Have you any experience?" The interviewer looked at me over her glasses. "Well, similar." I took a deep breath. "I'm qualified first aider and I was seconded to the tea trolley for 6 months when I was volunteering at the infirmary." "That'll do," she said. "Sign here. Start tomorrow. 1 week's training and then you're off. It's a new airline. The planes aren't new, just a paint job." She looked me up and down. One of her eyebrows was extremely mobile. "You see, we're desperate for staff," she said. "I've only just recruited the pilot. He was long haul until the unfortunate incident flying back from Rio. He's actually quite famous now. His picture was in all the papers. But he's steering clear of South America for the moment." The flight to Alicante was uneventful but noisy due to the 30 school kids on board. But coming back, it was completely full. Not even a seat left for me. And we were already half an hour late by the time we got everybody settled. Some bright spark had issued all those school kids with free snacks. Crushed Pringles everywhere. Took us ages to clear up, and we only had a hand brush. You could see people were getting restless, so the pilot's announcement didn't go down well. "Apologies," he said, "but we've missed our slot due to the Pringles situation on the way here. Now, if anyone's feeling unwell, they should make themselves known to the crew. It's a legal requirement following the pandemic." I said to Melanie, she's the head steward, spent her life dishing out watery tea and meals that defy description. I said to Melanie, "Well, no one would be daft enough. The buzzer went off near the back of the plane." "Off you go," said Melanie with that smile she reserves for passengers that make special requests. I wandered down to this old couple. I have to say, the bloke did look a bit sweaty. He said, "I don't feel well. I hope it's not the COVID." Well, all the passengers round and about started to mutter, tighten their masks, shift around in their seats. One woman got up and ran up the gangway shouting, "Help! Help!" I'm sure she came on board in a wheelchair. Melanie brought her to a halt and shoved her into the toilet. She's strong as Mel. The poor woman must have been winded. "What's your name, matey?" I said, stepping backwards. "I'm Frank and she's Jean." He thumbed towards the old lady sitting next to him. I told Frank to stay where he was and I'd speak to the captain. Well, that was a waste of time. After I'd explained the problem at the back of the plane, the captain put down his whiskey and said, "So what shall we do?" I went back to Melanie, who handed me 2 COVID tests. "Tell them both to take a test," she said. "Stay with them and make sure they do a proper job. I'll tell everybody to stop panicking and that we'll be on our way as soon as we get a negative from that great dope that pressed the buzzer." I didn't have to wait 15 minutes for the result. The test went so red it looked as though somebody had dropped scarlet nail varnish into the little hole. I went back to Melanie with the news, although with all the general murmuring on the plane, she knew before I got there. "Right, you'll have to disembowel him," she said. "His wife will want to go with him even though she's negative. And we'll need to get the bags out of the hold." Sometimes it's obvious Mel has a lot of experience. "Well, Frank, you'll have to get off because you tested positive." "No chance," he shouted. He stood up and faced me. I backed away. You see, he was breathing quite heavily. "Oh, my God," I said, pointing behind him. He fell for it and turned round. You see, I'm known for my quick thinking. I grabbed his collar and his trouser belt and frog-marched him up the plane onto the stairs outside. His wife came trotting behind. "How many bags have you got in the hold?" I said. 2, Frank said. 1, Jean said. She was actually smiling as she waved to Frank from the plane door while a security man took him down the steps. "I'm not stopping here," she said. 2 weeks in the ret is enough for me." "You mean you're going to let him quarantine on his own in a foreign country? We don't even know where they'll take him." "Look, sonny," she said. "I've been going to leave him for years, so you don't think I'm going to pass up the chance to dump him hundreds of miles from home, do you? Besides, see that fella on the row behind us? I've been having dessert with him ever since the paella night, and back in England, he only lives four streets from me. At the back of the plane, a bloke who looked past 80 was waving to Jean. "That's Malcolm," she said. "He's got some extraordinary tattoos in some very peculiar places. But you don't notice them once the lights are out."